Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. From high atop the ice surface at MTS Center, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Joined in the press box by producer Michael Remus and analyst Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mindell, and the Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Edmonton Oilers by a 3-2 margin in overtime in, I would say, what was a, you know, turned out to be a pretty entertaining game after a sort of bland opening 20 minutes, but that last 20 minutes of the third period really gave the fans their money's worth there.
Yeah, Drew, you have two teams that can skate and can move the puck and, you know, have their fair share of defensive breakdowns. So that generally will be an interesting, exciting game. And what the Jets have played them, you know, today was 3-2. Their last game, the Jets got blown out. The game before was high scoring. I think the game in the first season they played was high scoring.
Yeah.
So these teams certainly aren't afraid to trade chances.
No, they're certainly not. And we'll get to the game itself and breaking down the goals in a moment or two. Before we get to that, Richard, first, your thoughts on Dustin Byfuglien's performance. He didn't make it onto the score sheet. So that's why I wanted to talk to, you know, about his performance as a forward today.
Well, he didn't make any defensive errors. And I think I'm saying that a little bit tongue in cheek, but he created a lot of offense. I thought a couple of great chances. The one he almost tucked in the back door on Brizgalov as he went past him and tried to tuck it in.
Yeah.
He had another chance where he almost had a wraparound. So yeah, he was using his speed when he got going. I thought he played pretty well. He had moments, wasn't looking great, but I thought overall, again, you know, he's be able to create offense. Right, and I think one of those was on the power play there. But he's able to create offense and not kill you defensively, and the team is playing better defensively. So I thought his game was solid.
Yeah, I would agree with you with that assessment. He, you know, like I said, there's no defensive. You know, when he was a defenseman, he'd have flashes of brilliance on offense and then flashes of horrendous play on defense. Now he's just really had flashes of brilliance on offense with nothing bad on the defensive side of things. So that to me is certainly a trade in the right direction. The Oilers themselves, and we'll get to breaking down the goals in a minute. The Oilers themselves, first time you've seen them under Dallas Eakins, you know, your thought on their performance, your thought on the team itself, and you know, for long suffering Oilers fans, do you see a silver lining in the horizon, or is this team looking like it's going to struggle for a little while longer?
Still struggle for a little while longer. I mean, the silver lining is talent, and talent's hard to accumulate, and they have a lot of it. And they need bigger talent. They need a more physical group up front that's able to handle physical play. They need more defensemen. They need a lot of defensemen. And, you know, you could argue they need a goaltender. So, yeah, there is still a lot of work to do, Drew. I mean, they have the talent, but their defense is awful, just awful. And their forwards are, well, you know, certainly with speed and skill, they can't get down the forecheck, really. They're not big enough. So it's all going to be, you have to have an Everly Hall, Nugent Hopkins line that's so skilled they can just move the puck and create however they want. But you're not able to accumulate lines like that. I mean, that line is three first rounders, number one overall picks. So you got to find a way to fill the rest of the roster, and they haven't done a great job of that. And I like the Hendricks addition. I thought he played well. I thought he played hard. He killed penalties well.
Yeah. Sacrificed himself. He blocked one shot.
Then got in a fight.
And he took a shot to the ear. So, I mean, he certainly, you can't quibble with his effort.
Got the mitts, worked hard. I thought, you know, they certainly seems to have helped their penalty kill. I'm not sure where their penalty kill ranks, but I wasn't impressed by it tonight. Running around a bit. And, yeah, overall, a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do.
Absolutely. The Oilers did open the scoring in today's game. Jordan Eberle gets them on the board. It's at the 6:59 mark of the second period. Mm-hmm. It's a power play goal. And that Eberle from Nugent Hopkins and Hall. It's a cross-ice pass. And Eberle sort of, you know, with a good wrist shot, and he rips a top corner, glove side on Andre Pavlik.
Yeah, solid wrist shot. He's not going to have the laser beam that you usually have, but he picks a corner, which is important. What you're seeing on the power play for the Oilers is a form of a 1-3-1. And what you have is Nugent Hopkins on his off wing on the hash marks and Hall on the red on the goal line. And when the puck goes to the top of the power play, like to Justin Schultz in that case, Hall will rotate over to the front of the net. What happens here is Nugent Hopkins and Hall rotate between the two of them. So meaning Nugent Hopkins goes to the red line and Hall comes to his off wing on the half boards there. So they rotate. There's a rotation there. And when they rotate, the defenseman backs up a little bit too much, backs off the box, meaning the distance between him, the forward, and the defenseman in the box widens for a second, and the Oilers are able to pass, make the pass through the seam. Everly picks up the puck and scores.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was 1-0 Edmonton. That was after 40 minutes, and the Jets had some scoring opportunities. They had a few good scoring opportunities. Ilya Bryzgalov up to the challenge so far after 40 minutes. Then in the third period is really where the game got going, and the game got fun for the fans. Sort of a quiet atmosphere in the building before that. A lot of Oilers fans here. Got to make note of that. I mean, no surprise. You know, a lot of people in Winnipeg live in Edmonton, or from Winnipeg live in Edmonton or live in Calgary, and a lot of people from Edmonton live in Winnipeg.
I think also the Jets leave. That's the team that we got to watch, you know, Calgary and Edmonton. So people form allegiances, right? Like when the Jets leave.
Really?
Oh, for sure. When the Jets
that
leave.
Makes me sick.
Yeah. I mean, that's what people, you know, that's what happens, I think.
Right. You can form an allegiance and you dump them immediately.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of them were formed on that basis.
Well, you could very well be right. The Jets tied the game shorthanded at the 5:48 mark of the third period. Jacob Trouba gets the goal, assist to Brian Little. Really great individual play by Brian Little here. Anton Belov doesn't get the puck in deep. Trouba sort of forces the turnover at the Jets' blue line, feeds it up to Little. Almost a quasi two-on-one a little bit. Little, as opposed to, it would have been a very difficult pass, I think, over to Ladd. Mm-hmm. Instead, he waits out the defenseman, and it becomes a bit of a modified three-on-two. Mm-hmm. And Little, showing great patience, passes it across the crease to Jacob Trouba. Trouba jams it past Ilya Bryzgalov, and we're tied to 1-1 apiece.
I mean, you basically broke it down, Drew. You don't get the puck in deep.
Take the rest of the show off.
Yeah, you don't take the puck in deep on the power play, and you know, you cause your own problems. Trouba gets the puck, gets it up to Little, creates speed, beats one defenseman. I think it was Belov slides by him otherwise. So he beat two defensemen on the same play on the shorthanded. I mean, that's... I think it was Petrie and Belov. That's their second pairing to defense, and those aren't the best defensive defensemen. I don't mind Petrie's game. Belov looked pretty bad tonight. And he makes the pass to Trouba, who jumps in and gets the goal. So credit to everybody. Credit to Trouba and Little there. That's who did all the work, obviously. And Little's speed and patience paid off, and Trouba's ability to jump into the play and willingness to jump into the play paid off.
Yeah, before we get to the second goal, worth noting that Andre Pavlik with a great save on Jordan Eberle right before that goal.
Yes.
That's, I mean, the reason that the Oilers had a power play is that Enstrom hooked Eberle. He still got a great shot away. It was almost a quasi breakaway there. And Pavlik up to the challenge, and he kept it a 1-goal game that led to the shorthanded goal.
Pavlik's good tonight. I mean, you know, you look at the goals, that cross-seam pass and Eberle, and the later goals to tip in, and yeah, solid. You save on Hall on a kind of a quasi-breakaway. Played a good game.
Yeah, best week for Andre Pavlik for a while now.
Well, I think that's, I don't think that is unrelated, I've said this before, to the team's style or willingness to play defense. Bufflin up front and a new coach, and I think all those go together.
Jets took the lead at the 10:37 mark of the third period. Mark Scheifele gets his first goal on home ice as an NHL player.
It's been great lately.
Yeah, he has been great.
Not even lately, and it's been a while now.
Yeah, since probably the 20-game mark of the season.
And surprising to me how quickly he's come forward, and that's a credit to him.
Well,
and the coaching staff, the previous coaching staff, you know, this one obviously less so far, but you know, playing a confident game, playing just a different player than the one at the beginning of the season. And I know he's young, yeah, but for the development to happen that quickly has to be very encouraging for Jets fans.
Ninth goal of the year, assists to Blake Wheeler and Eric O'Dell. Scheifele moves to within 2 points of Nathan MacKinnon for the rookie point lead in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Great individual effort here. Pucks in deep, fights out from it, and on a second chance, on a second rebound on his own shot, puts it past Bryzgalov.
Just, yeah, you said, you know, he pins the puck again, he gets the puck off the boards, comes in, drives the net, has good hands, and gets that goal. That's a skill goal and a more of a confident goal. He wouldn't have had that goal, you know, 2 months ago, because when he skates, when he puts his head down and he skates and he demonstrates a willingness to go into traffic, that serves him well. I don't know what the hell the Edmonton Oilers defense is doing here.
I think Oilers fans have said that more than once.
Yeah, you're talking about, what's his name here? Martin Marincin, who had played not bad up to that point. He gets caught behind the net there. I mean, I don't even know what you're doing when you're behind the net and the guy's driving the net. So an odd defensive play, but credit to Scheifele on a great offensive play.
Yeah, absolutely. 2-1 for the Jets at that point, and we're late into the third period. But the Oilers did come back, and they did tie it up, and that was at the 18-minute mark. David Perron gets a tip in, assist to Jeff Petrie and Sam Gagner. Shot from the point, tip, nothing that anybody could really... You'd like to see the defenseman tie up Perron's stick a little bit more there.
Yeah, what happens there is Enstrom jumps high on the peak in the PK, right? It's a power play goal?
Yeah, it was not a power play goal.
No, Enstrom jumps high on the coverage. And he gets caught too high in the zone. And the puck doesn't get out. I believe it was Enstrom who also fired it up. You can correct me on that one. I might be wrong on that one. And what happens is that the puck gets to the blue line. Enstrom's too high. And the puck gets over to, I believe it was it Petrie?
Yeah.
With the shot, the right-handed shot. And Bogosian has the guy in front, but there's two guys in front. Enstrom is too high, doesn't have his guy.
Sure. Unless he's going to block that shot, he's in a bad position.
Yeah, and it was a nice tip anyways. But Enstrom got caught in no man's land there a bit, didn't get the puck out, and 2-0.
Yeah, I thought, the two forwards for the Oilers I thought were most noticeable today were probably their goal scorers, Eberle and Perron.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, the other guy, I mean, Nugent Hopkins and Hall just, didn't light things up. They didn't blow me away.
Yeah, no, I mean, they had their moments. But yeah, I agree with that, Drew. I thought Perron played a nice game and Eberle did, both of them.
Yeah. As the rules of the NHL dictate, when there's 2 minutes to go in a game and it's tied in the third period, neither team can play for the win. That's right. To play for overtime.
There's no incentive.
There's no incentive, exactly right. No sense. So both teams did get the points.
It's not, because it's not even a regulation win. So that's the other thing. It's like a regulation and overtime win. We should talk about that.
Yeah.
Regulation and overtime win. Why isn't a regulation win? If you get the point in overtime and it still counts in the standings as a bonus, why would you even go for it?
It doesn't make any sense.
No incentive.
They should make it a regulation wins, not regulation and overtime. It's a different game. It's 4-on-4.
I agree.
And the Jets took advantage of that 4-on-4 situation. At the 1:10 mark of overtime, the Jets get the game-winning goal. Jacob Trouba, his second of the night. Great individual play by Blake Wheeler sets up Trouba for this. Wheeler comes in down the right side, almost scores it himself, stays with the play, and feeds it to Trouba standing all alone, while an Oilers defenseman and Brizgalov, I think, were having some sort of huddle in the corner of the net.
What you see here is Jacob Trouba's ability to play at both ends of the ice. And so Jordan Eberle gets him a little bit inside out on a one-on-one, but Trouba is able to, he's a good enough skater to recover.
This is back in the Jet zone. Trouba with a great defensive play on Eberle.
He's able to defend Eberle. He ends up getting the puck, and the puck is made. They see Wheeler streaking up the middle of the ice on the right side. Wheeler gets the puck, beats the defenseman Petrie, goes around and makes a beautiful backhand move, just misses the puck. The puck's kind of bobbling. Petrie comes to get the puck. Misses the getting it out of his own zone. Again, the Oilers defensemen are it's a complete fire drill in their own zone.
Yeah.
He misses getting the puck out of his own zone, hits Wheeler with it. Wheeler then has the puck, and Anton Belov is who knows where, not covering Trouba, who moves up into the play and gets the goal. So a beautiful play on both sides by Trouba, great effort by Wheeler, and Oilers once again left standing around wondering what they were doing. But the credit there goes to the Jets. I thought overall, Drew, Scheifele played a real nice game. Trouba was best player on the ice. Thought that the defense as a whole was better. They played with a toughness today. I like that. A little bit more disciplined. Buff had a good game. And so, it's more, if you're a Jets fan and you're encouraged by the future. And Pavlik had a solid game. So you're encouraged by the future. I watched Paul Maurice after the goal. Very emotional, I thought, for this win. It was interesting. You have to think, we're talking 8 points back. And it's a big hill to climb, but 8 points with a Vancouver team that's struggling. They just got killed on the West Coast, 0-3. Scored one goal, I believe, one goal. Lost 1-0 twice, and they lost 9-1. So that's a team that's reeling right now. And Minnesota, a team that was struggling before, got it back together a little bit, but not necessarily insurmountable at this point. So certainly it's a stretch, but it's something to shoot for. In that dressing room, that's kind of what I felt like for Maurice. He gets another win, he can build on this. Now they're going to play two really good teams, two teams that are way better than they are. Mm-hmm. But something tells me they're going to pop one win off this trip. I don't know why, but
he's putting it on the board. It's a bold prediction by Richard Pollock there, but we'll see what the team can do. It's like you said, it's a much more difficult road trip upcoming for the Winnipeg Jets. They are in to San Jose and to Anaheim Tuesday, Thursday next week. In terms of time on ice, the Jets were led on ice by Zach Bogosian, 25 minutes and 41 seconds for Bogosian. Toby Enstrom, 24:36. Among forwards, it appears as though, I should mention Jacob Trouba also playing 23 minutes and 32 seconds. Among forwards, I guess forward/defense, a hybrid position for Dustin Byfuglien, 22 minutes and 4 seconds for him. Brian Little, 21 minutes. Andrew Ladd, 21:03, and Blake Wheeler, 19:04. Scheifele, 18:05. And we mentioned Jacob Trouba, the first star of tonight's game, up there in the 23-minute mark for the Winnipeg Jets. Great effort for the Jets. They end a great week with three clean victories, which they certainly needed. It's amazing to think it was only 6 days ago that they made the coaching change that led to the Paul Maurice era beginning in Winnipeg. Wednesday night, NHL midweek on TSN 1290, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show next Saturday, 12 noon, prior to the Jets and the Leafs here from MTS Center. Stay tuned for post-game audio from both the Jets and the Oilers dressing room, courtesy of IllegalCurve.com's Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg of both IllegalCurve.com and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. For producer Michael Remus and analyst Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Have yourself a great evening.